good to see everybody here this morning, especially after last week. I think last week we had an official declared vacation week, had a lot gone. A lot of y'all are back, and we're delighted to have you each one of y'all with us. Good to have those of you who are visiting with us. Good to have Julie's family here and Max's family here. We just have several visitors today, and we're thrilled that y'all can be here. We're thrilled to have each one of you here that are nearly always here, rain or sunshine. It's just good good to be here. I've been listening to a different YouTube this week in the last couple of weeks than I had come across before. They were by Earl Nightingale. I don't know if you remember Earl Nightingale. Those that are my age and older would recognize his voice instantly because he had a very deep, rich voice. He was a reporter, but I believe he had a weekly show that was about a half an hour long, and it was always something really positive, always something that was really constructive as far as trying to encourage people to meet their possibilities that they had. But the one I was listening to that I really enjoyed was focused on this particular passage. It's found in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, and it will be instantly familiar to you. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." One of the examples that he gave was that of farmland. A farmer who had good land, he has the choice of planting anything he wants out there that will grow in that climate. If the conditions are right and if he takes care of it well, whatever he puts in the soil is going to grow. So he might take some corn seed and put that in there and take care of it and tend to it. And again, if the conditions are good, it's going to grow corn every time. But that same farmer could take seed from a nightshade, which is a deadly poison. He could put it in the same soil and tend to it in the same way, and it would also grow. Because the soil doesn't care what you plant in it. It's going to grow what you plant. And his point was, that's the way our hearts and our minds are, and it's because of this eternal principle, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. Whatever you put in your mind during the week is what you're going to become. And the longer you keep something in your mind, the longer and the more certain it is that you're going to become that, because you reap what you sow. It's a principle that cannot be changed, even though we sometimes fool ourselves. Sometimes we will sow sin. We think that we're going to get joy. It doesn't work. You may get fleeting moments of happiness, and that's one of the allures of sin, but you're not going to get joy. You're not going to have anything that is long-lasting. You're not going to have anything that is good for other people. All you're going to have is a poison like nightshade. The difference is you didn't plant it in soil. You planted it in your heart. And even though the heart that is trained cares what is put in it, the heart that is not trained by God's word doesn't care. It doesn't matter if you put good or bad in that heart. Whatever you consistently put in your heart through your thoughts and through your actions is going to grow, because this is an eternal principle. A man reaps what he sows. You cannot change that, even if you think that you found a loophole to it, or even if you think that you'd like to. I got a Bible while I was home last time. When I say home, I'm always referring to my mom and dad's place. But we went there, and Mom had come across an old Bible that was my great grandmother's. Now, my great grandmother's great grandfather was one of the original signers of the Constitution. And he was also the first senator in America to be impeached. And he deserved to be impeached because he was kind of a scoundrel. But he was also a patriot. And so it's kind of interesting that down through that lineage was the lineage that became faithful in the church. It was from Minnie Miner Blount's line that Christianity really took hold within my family, at least in modern times. And so it was really fascinating to have her Bible. It was copyrighted in 1895, so obviously it's the King James Version, and I've been reading from it every day. Because I figured that any Bible should be read at least one time if it's a good version. And this one certainly is. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 is where I was reading from this morning. And it really dovetailed well with this concept of a man reaps what he sows, and an encouragement to make sure that you sow what is right. Hear, O Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, about 1,400 years later, Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment. There's no other command that's greater than this one. So this is impressive just right at the outset. But then verse 6 says that God says this, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. It's to be sown in your heart. And then he says this, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. They were to be thought about. They were to be talked about. They were to be written down and carried with them. They were to be before them. Mentioned it's been several months ago, we started a new challenge, one that's very simplistic in nature, one that does not take an awful lot of time to initially do, but one that can be very powerful if you do it. And the idea was just to go through the 119th Psalm and write down one verse each day and carry it with you. This principle of carrying it with you is very important, because whatever you have as far as something that you're going to put before you, it needs to be continually before you. And I can tell you this last week, I needed that. This last week, I had the privilege of mowing 17 lawns. We've been so blessed with rain. It's just been really wonderful. But it was time consuming. In addition to that, this last week, I had the privilege of moving several tons of debris out of this building that we so cleverly purchased for $10. And so I was moving all that debris, some of it slogging through the mud and the slime that was there from 104 years of whatever they've had in that building. And it was really good for me to have these little verses written down so that I could remember that I wasn't here to mow lawns or to bear a burden of tons of refuse. As a matter of fact, these are the passages, some of the passages that I had before me this week. In Psalms 119, verse 88, preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. Now, that to me was just really helpful. Preserve my life according to your love. If you get going through the drudgery of life, and that's all you do, and that's all you focus on, and you're not focusing on where you're going, you're just focusing on where you're at, you're going to forget what you're here for. I guarantee you, God did not put me on earth to mow lawns and carry trash. At least I hope he didn't. But I'm going somewhere. I'm going to heaven. And the only way that I'm ever going to get there is if I keep his words in front of me all the time. And so there were some days where I would carry that card and I'd stick it in my back pocket. And when I'd pull that card out of my back pocket, it was hardly legible because it was just covered with sweat. I know that's disgusting, but that's the case. But I would keep it before me. Here's another one. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. There are principles that God has that do not change. A man reaps what he sows is one of them. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. I really enjoyed this passage because the day before I read this passage, I saw a headline on one of the websites that I go to. I think it was CNBC, and it said the hottest temperatures of 2000. in 2016 showed the hottest temperatures ever recorded on Earth. And I thought, yeah, I'll bet. But what they're trying to convince us is that it's getting warmer. Now, they're not telling you that they're sticking the thermometers and they're cherry-picking this and that, and that even with all of that massaging of the numbers, the difference between the coldest year in the past 100 years and the year that supposedly was the hottest after they really worked on getting it to be the hottest is about half a degree, one way or another. And it goes up and it goes down. If you ever look at NASA's website, you can see from the last 130 years that there are just little cycles. Sometimes, and they put it in really, they change the, I was trying to think, the numbers on it to where it's not going up to 70 degrees and a degree at a time. You got 70 degrees and then you got tenths of a degree, so it looks really big, like it's just fluctuating wildly, like we need some government organization to save us if we can only give them enough money so they can tell us to stop using aerosols and air conditioning that's actually effective. But I'd read that, and of course their concern, what they want to tell you is that somehow we're going to destroy the world, but God's word is eternal and it stands firm in the heavens. If his word is eternal, so is the world. He's not going to allow the world that he put us into to stop before he's ready for it to stop. And we don't have to worry all the time. Your faithfulness continues through all the generations. You established the earth and it endures. Again, the earth isn't going anywhere. Why? Because his word's not going anywhere. God knew what he was doing. He didn't have any problem with designing a people-proof earth. And the reason he did that is because he wants you to serve him. And if you're spending all your life worrying about whether or not your babies are going to melt in the heat or whether they're going to freeze in the cold, then you're not going to be able to serve him as well as you can. But even when we are going from difficulty to difficulty, we need to keep on our hearts his word. We cannot forget what we're here for, because a man reaps what he sows. And speaking of what we are here for, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. One of the very best pieces of advice that I have ever heard, and I have used this for a number of years, is to write your goals down and keep them with you. And I have really benefited from that, because I'm absolutely convinced that what you put into your mind is what's eventually going to happen. As a matter of fact, it's a scriptural principle that as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Whatever you're thinking about on a regular basis is what you're going to become. And whatever you're putting into your mind, that's what you're going to become. So if you're spending your day, guys, on the internet looking at pornography, that's what you're going to become. You're going to become filthy and obsessed with filthy things. If all you're thinking about is how you can stack up as much money as you can and as much possessions as you can, that's all you're going to be worthwhile, is to store up so you can give it to somebody who's eventually going to use it. And if all you ever think about is your pleasure and your relaxation and your satisfaction, you're eventually going to become worthless, because your heart and your mind are going to be consumed by this. But if the goal of your faith really is the salvation of your souls, and we don't have to wonder what the goal of our faith should be, because we are told, as an eternal principle, the goal of your faith is the salvation of your souls, then keep it in front of you. Remember it. Think about it. When you wake up in the morning, thank God for the day and ask him to be with you. You get to have a fun day if you so choose. Or you get to have a lousy day. If you want to spend your whole day worrying about what's happening in your life, or feeling bad for the bad breaks that you've had in your life, or thinking about the bad health that you've got today, or the bad health that your loved ones have today, or the crummy government that we have today, or the good government that we could have had within our grasp yesterday, or whatever it is you want to think about, you can waste your time thinking about that. And I'm not suggesting that there aren't some things that we need to be considering. And I'm also not suggesting that it's inappropriate somehow to be thinking of rest and relaxation. That drives me. Can I tell you what drove me this week in addition to these verses? What drove me more than anything other than the passages was the hope of a 10-cent popsicle that was waiting for me when I got home. And I would really take advantage of that 10-cent popsicle when I came in from mowing or from carrying the trash. I enjoyed it. 30 calories and more happiness than a human being should be allowed to have because of that. It's okay to be thinking of the things that make you happy. I believe God stuck us on an earth that was beautiful because He wants us to be happy. I believe that He gave us spouses that are beautiful and loving and caring because He wants us to be happy. I believe He gave us instruction on how to be the type of a spouse or the type of a parent or the type of a child that He gave you the instructions to be because He wants you to be happy on your way to heaven. But if you're just happy and the goal of your faith is not the salvation of your souls, you're not going to make it. Take the example of a cargo ship, and a cargo ship captain who's an experienced man. He has a good boat. He has a good crew. If he is going to say from Seattle, Washington to Hong Kong to pick up a load, he has written down in his plans how he's going to get there. Not just that he's going there, but how he's going to get there. And he makes preparation to do that. And the crew is also with him on that. And they're going to help him on that because they know if they go there and they come back, they get paid. And that makes them happy. That makes all of us happy. I hope that you're happy enough to show a little pleasure when you get paid. That's a good thing. It's not wrong. The example I heard was a captain in such a situation that has a destination in mind and a plan on how to get there, and a boat that's capable of getting there will get there on average 9,999 times out of 10,000 trips. That's the law of averages because that's how good our current system is and our current technology is. But if you take that same boat and you just cast it adrift, it may be filled with fuel. It may have all the supplies that it needs to carry somebody, but you just turn it adrift, it's probably not even going to make it out of the harbor. And if it does make it out of the harbor, it's eventually going to run out of fuel if you turn the engines on, and it's just going to drift out in the middle of the ocean. Eventually, it's going to come to rest, probably in some kind of a crash, on some deserted island somewhere. Because there is no direction. There is no goal. We're receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls, means that we have a destination in mind. But just as surely as a boat that is just cast and let to drift wherever it will go will not end up in its destination that you'd hope it would go to, you won't end up in heaven if that's all you're hoping. If you just hope you'll be there someday and it's a weak wish and you don't have that as the goal of your faith, the likelihood of you making it is almost zero. But if the goal of your faith is the salvation of your soul, the likelihood of your making it is almost 100%. And the reason is this. God has made all the arrangements for you to be with Him in heaven. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He did not do that so that He could somehow fool you as to how to get to your destination. Jesus died for your sins so that you could get there. And then they have a plan for us, should we get off track, to where we can come back to Him on His terms at any time we so choose. And so if the goal of our faith has not been the salvation of our souls, we can change that right now. And you can change it successfully because you will reap what you sow. You're guaranteed to do that. Just as sure as if you put corn in the ground on good land and you tend to it, you're going to grow corn. You're going to be in heaven someday if the goal of your faith is the salvation of your souls. But you have to do it God's way. And if you'll do that, you're going to be successful. There's one last passage I'd like to read, and it's one that maybe will be familiar to you, maybe it won't. But it's found in Hosea chapter 10, and it talks about this very thing, this eternal principle of sowing and reaping. In Hosea chapter 10, the prophet writes this through inspiration. Starting in verse 12, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." You got any unbroken, unplowed ground out there? Are there things that you could have been doing for God that you just haven't been doing, but you're going to get around to it someday? Time starts now. The goal of your faith has never changed. You may not have the goal set right, just like an inexperienced captain may not set the direction for his port correctly. But we have the directions right here, and they don't change. "Break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." But then he leaves them with this. He said, "But you've planted wickedness, you've reaped evil, you've eaten the fruit of deception." And that's where we started, wasn't it? Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. We spend so much of our time sowing physical things and thinking we're going to get spiritual reward that it's just become part of our mindset because we've deceived ourselves. But if we'll not be deceived, if we will start breaking up the unplowed ground and we start planting the things that God wants us to plant, we're going to have a good life. You're going to have maybe some difficulties in life, but you're going to have a good life all the way through. And then after that, you're going to have an eternity with God in heaven because he wants you to be there. But you have to sow the seeds of that eternity or you won't make it. Invitation's open. If you need to respond, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.